Welcome to Oversharing with the Overbees. I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And each week you can tune in to hear us respond to your voicemails, go in depth on our lives as content creators, and hopefully leave you feeling even better than we found you.
With that being said, let's get to oversharing.
Here she is.
And better than ever. Okay, guys, I'm going to start today's podcast with a little ASMR. Was it good?
I mean,
do a good job.
It sounded good to me, but I don't have headphones.
Have you seen
on.
The video of the rat in the Alani can?
No.
So there's this video going viral.
It's super healthy.
And it's been debunked, I believe.
Sure.
But it's literally like a full size rat inside a can. And somebody was like insinuating that they opened it and the rat was already in there, which then everybody.
Like alive?
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
But then, and there's like video of it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was freaking out. That means that there are rats in the facility.
The canning?
Like, in the actual, like, liquid.
The drink.
Yeah. But that's not really probable, is it?
It's pretty low probability. I would doubt that it's an open
backstory.
Container.
So Matt worked in beverage production.
I did, yeah. I worked for macro breweries mainly, but... So that was food and beverage. I guess my whole career, I did sanitary design for food and beverage or
So I'm envisioning, products. I don't know if this is true, but I'm envisioning that you worked on like this kind of, not Alani because you did beer, but like the
I actually
liquid.
Worked with guys that did, so the programmers we used worked a lot with like energy drink companies.
Oh, okay.
Because, basically, they have concentrated syrups of most of these flavors, and then they're injected and carbonated into water streams.
Okay.
So it's pretty low likelihood that there's an open vat of Alani somewhere.
So there aren't just rats living in, like, everybody was like, that means that it's full of rat juice.
I mean, that's probably a great source of protein, albeit gross. But no, I would be shocked to find out they have open vats.
So I shouldn't cringe every time I drink this.
No, because
I
here's
think
the
of
deal,
it every
guys.
Time. I'm like,
ugh. It's a carbonated beverage. You can't have an open container of a carbonated beverage. It will lose all the carbonation. It's like, yeah, that's not a thing. And most likely it's made by injecting syrup into a flowing line of water.
Okay.
Yeah. By a
you
complicated.
You hear it here first. It's piece of probably equipment that's okay a couple to drink the Alani's.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, I don't know Alani's process personally. I worked mainly in beer, but I worked with machinery that did sodas and energy drinks. And it's usually a concentrated syrup injected into a flowing line and carbonated.
And then how does it get into the can?
It goes through a machine that, like... Well, actually, let me think about that. I think it's carbonated in can and then capped. Either way, the syrup is mixed in, and then I forget carbonation. Because, again, I haven't worked in carbonation in the better part of 5 years.
So likely nothing was sitting in rat juice.
No, there is the likelihood that a carbonated beverage has an open container, like just a something that rats could get into, very low. Yeah.
Alani's just built different.
Yeah, unless this is made in like...
A proprietary, again. Less sanitary way.
Yeah, proprietary, but like you can't really even do that very, like, I mean, there's plenty of not sanitary things in the United States, but it's tough to make.
Beverage production's not really one of them.
No, they inspect stuff pretty thoroughly. Now, I will tell you, if I learned anything in beer, what's inside the pipe has to be clean. What's outside of the pipe, not so much. They don't really care what's outside of the pipe in like a cold cellar. It's gnarly down there, but it's outside the pipe and your drink is inside the pipe. So
yeah,
inside clean, outside, whatever. But that's a different lifetime.
Yeah. Oh, how fun. Somebody DM'd me though. Cause I shared mm-hmm. on my Instagram story that every time I open my Alani now, I like think about it, that video, cause yeah. It went really viral and somebody DM'd me and were like, you're still drinking them? And like, they went on and I was like, you know, Matt worked in sanitary design and I don't know everything, but from what I did know from you, I was like, I think it's okay.
Yeah, here's the deal. It would have to be like pushed through the whole system and then shot into the can.
And it was like a full, like yeah. a whole.
It's not going to make it through like half of the equipment that it needs to make it into, like to be in a carbonated can. Unless it was somehow already in the can. Like there's a, like the only way I could ever see it happening is if like somehow the blank can, which is really just like a. Yeah, it's not likely. It's really unlikely.
But even then, don't you think if there'd been a blank can that had a rat in it, don't you think that that would have weighed? Like,
it yeah, again, the likelihood that you get a rat in a canned beverage is really low. Now, if you'd have told me some other type of, like, small creature, you know, a grasshopper, I could believe a grasshopper somehow got in something. A rat is, like, a full-size rat. Is the size of the can.
Yeah. You should have seen it.
It's kind of amazing somebody faked it.
Yeah. Well, no, I think what happened is it was one that had already been emptied.
Sure.
And they found it like with the rat in
oh,
it.
Oh, the rat had crawled in there because their bones are flexible. It's super crazy.
Yeah.
Like the spaces rats can get into, they can get like under doors that are like a half inch high because all their bones just like flatten out. Cats can do that too.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And gross, if you think about it.
But you know what I mean? Are you
yes,
with me now?
Yes, that totally makes sense.
That's
a rat
what
has
I
crawled
think.
Into an empty can and died.
That's my theory.
It wants that sweet, sweet Alani.
Because a lot of people, this is getting gross, and we should probably cut
no,
it out.
No, keep going. We should keep going.
So, somebody was talking about how
Alani, please send us stuff still. We love it.
We love Alani.
Yeah,
we're
not going to stop drinking it. Again, the rats will make you stronger. That's a fact. As long as it's like pasteurized or, you know, sanitary in some way, a rat will, you know, fuel you. Birds eat rats. Birds are crazy. Eat rats, people. Renewable.
Yeah. I mean,
ecologically
we're not,
friendly.
We're not falling short on them.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were just saying that its body wasn't, like it would have been
gnarly.
Yeah.
It would have been rat stew.
Yeah. And it was
had it been canned.
Exactly.
In, I mean, not that Alani's going to like, but you just even putting it in water for that long.
Right. Exactly.
Yikes. That's a thought.
Anyway.
That's a thought.
So if anybody was concerned, that was Matt debunking. You may drink your Alani. Still, a lot of people were like, I've been pouring them over ice at home because they're like so scared. I'm dying laughing though at just everybody's thought process.
That's amazing. Who are they owned by somebody? Are they their own thing?
I think they're their own thing.
Okay.
Correct me
well,
if I'm
I
wrong.
Mean, it may say something on here that.
I'm pretty sure they're their,
okay,
their own thing.
Okay, they've got their own.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I mean, I only say that because there's lots of beverages out there that are owned by, like, Coca-Cola, which is fine. It means absolutely nothing.
No. Just, well, that's not
especially
true.
Especially if it was made on, like, a even bigger facility, the likelihood
gets smaller
even
and smaller.
Now, Alani may run a pharmacy class facility. I have no idea, but.
Maybe they'll fly us out.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, let
Alani,
us tour your facility.
Can you give us a tour of your, I would be really interested.
Yeah, I want
to
go
see
your beverage blender.
We got to do a brewery tour where we saw how.
Let me consult on your sanitary design. Give me let me give you my thoughts. See how we can keep the rats out.
We did a tour of a facility that did seltzer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating.
Microbrewery.
Yeah.
So very different than like the scale of things I worked on.
100%. It was so interesting.
But yeah. And the funny thing is I don't know brewing that well. There's lots of people that like homebrew that know brewery process a lot better than I ever did. I was much more in the facilities.
From how I.
Utilities.
Now, again, I've never had a good grasp on what Matt did. Or maybe I'm learning. Maybe I had a better grasp than I thought.
Okay.
But I would never compare what you know to home brewing. I would be much, or brewing in general, I'd be much more likely to compare what you did and like ask about what I asked you about today with
yes.
canning and
for sure.
Mm-hmm. like production and the
I
way
was on
the lines
the utility
operate.
Side.
Right.
Now, I mean, understanding the brewing process is important because it's done on a huge scale. So the filtration is on a huge scale. The fermentation's on a huge scale. Like there's a lot of sanitation that doesn't go into some microbrews and stuff.
Is this where it comes out? Matt's freaky smart.
Oh,
they didn't
just
know.
Learned a little bit of stuff. along the way.
No. Well, they probably knew just from listening to you talk.
Oh, look at that.
So the thing I really, I don't know, I've talked about this at all, but the thing that made me fall like head over heels in love with Matt, even at when he was 16, is he's always been really, really brilliant. Like, if we're around people who are discussing really high level topics that I cannot process whatsoever, he can always keep up and he's right there with them. But then he can also bring me in and anybody that we're with into the conversation by making it digestible to anybody at any age. I saw you when we were young and now that we have kids, but like when we were in our late teens and early 20s, anytime you would interact with little kids, it was amazing how that you could break down these really complex topics that I think are boring as hell. And
might still be boring.
Make it engaging and interesting for as dumb people and little kids alike.
Very similar.
I am dumb people. So
that's not true. Why did I agree with that?
No, I don't. Unhinged. I don't mean like that. I just mean like it's me that didn't understand a lot of those things, and you were always so good. And I've witnessed so many times when we're sitting at a table and you can see somebody's just getting lost, not understanding, that you're always really good at bringing them in and explaining something on people's levels. And I very much value and appreciate that about you.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet.
It's such a skill. I think it's why you did so well in engineering.
Yeah, I did. I did well in mixed
company,
mixed discipline teams, not mixed company. Sure. Yeah. If I was being condescending. Yeah. Mixed company. Made the non-engineers feel smart. No, it's, I mean, well, here's the deal. It's really important when you're working to understand that even if you understand things really well, you also don't understand what other people are doing. So, in a production facility, I always defer to the people that actually operated the facility. I was like, hey, I know this stuff pretty well, and so I can tell you what I know about that, but you can tell me how this place actually runs, and so we're going to treat that with an equal amount of respect, because they did something I didn't do, and I did something that they didn't do, and we could work through that. But
yeah,
that was something, actually, my dad told me that long, long time ago. He's like, hey, learn from operators. Learn from the people that are actually doing it, because they are actually doing it. And
Mark,
don't ever,
Overby, yeah, don't ever come in some wisdom.
Yeah, don't ever come in and tell people like how things should happen.
I think that's so true. Just in all, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, that's
too
universally applicable.
And regardless of what the discipline is, I think people really get on their high horse, and because they have their hand in so many different things, think they understand the ins and outs of people doing those jobs day to day. And you just don't. I think that's where a lot of entrepreneurs end up failing.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes people want to come in and like really show that they know their stuff. And some people, you know, really just like to be right about things. And just because you know stuff and
I'd
you're
like
right, you can even be right. And it is still not how things actually run.
I think all people like to be right about things.
No, absolutely. But there's definitely people that like to come in
that's their
and
only
like flex their knowledge and like be right and prove other people's wrong. Like, well, that was not said well. But they do that by proving other people wrong, not necessarily by demonstrating their value. It's by like, oh, well, you're wrong, and that makes me smarter than you.
Yeah.
Which makes you an abrasive person, and that doesn't mean you're the worst, but you could work on it maybe.
Okay, I'm going back again to things that are great about you. Sorry. I know that you're just like going to hate this entire episode. We're going to get done. You're like, I was so uncomfortable.
It makes my skin crawl. It's okay.
But going back to that, another thing that I appreciated within all of those moments, even though I could tell how brilliant you were, you've always also been very good at, you think of yourself as the same as everybody in a room.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds counterintuitive, because like it's like, well, of course, everybody's equal, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had interacted with a lot of brilliant people.
Well, especially at like 15, 16.
Yeah, right.
You're dealing with not the most mature people in the world. No,
and I had never met somebody who was so smart who treated everybody the same. I was like, wow.
It's not a good age for people.
Well, and my high school experience was so different than most, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but yeah. My high school experience was very bizarre. I was in a G&T program, but like a very specialized gifted and talented program. And so there were like minimum IQ things, and it was very odd. And I was with a very small group of very, very brilliant kids. And it was just a very odd experience because within my high school, those kids were the cool, like
you went to like a backwards school.
Yeah.
Like
the nerds ruled.
The nerds were cool.
Yeah.
It was an odd experience to walk into. Be like, what is happening here? Why You're are these people me, running things?
Those are the cool kids? And yeah. I'm like, yeah, I want them to like me. And Matt's like, why?
Yeah. I was like, that's different for sure.
He's like, you shouldn't want anyone to like people liking you shouldn't be your goal.
No. No. Like, I mean, I desperately wanted to be liked all the time. And that's part of what made me good at deferring to other people and stroking other people's egos. But, yeah, I was like, this is not a representation of the world. This is not going to suit you well going out and being liked.
And it did not.
Yeah.
You had to work on it in college. Demolished in college.
When you re-entered a normal population.
Not even a normal population, but a
neurotypical population.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
Because, yeah, that was even long before I had any recognition of my own neurodiversity, but it was like, yeah, I relate to too many of these people for this to be a standard group of human beings.
Oh, what a time.
I've always had that thought. I was like, okay, if you're relating to me, you're not quite normal. And that's okay. Like, I'm happy where I'm at, but it's not standard wiring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if anyone's ever wondered what my ADHD flavor is like, I was scrolling TikTok yesterday and wishing that I could put it picture in picture on my iPhone so that I could play a game while watching TikTok.
I think picture in picture is maybe one of the worst things that has ever happened for you. It's
one of the worst inventions.
For ADHD, for sure.
It allows me to do what I want to do, which is not always a good thing. Which is like, oh, I can look at fantasy baseball while watching a documentary.
And pretend like I'm doing chores.
Yeah, yeah. While feeding my kids poorly. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Anyway, that's what it's like for me. So that's why I take medicine now.
That's fair.
It was late in the evening, so I'm thinking it might have worn off a little bit.
Okay. Tell me about your week. Do we have any updates? What's going on? What are you thinking about?
What have we been doing? I don't... we worked outside. I got a sunburn.
Oh, you did get a sunburn. Like a pretty bad sunburn.
It's a moderate sunburn. It'll buff out.
Let me clarify. I've not seen you that sunburn in a decade.
I haven't. I haven't been out in the sun in like 2 years. I don't know.
Is this going to be tan boy summer?
I think so.
This is an episode of Matt lore. You should
see the legend of Matt.
This man's driver's license photo from when he was 16, because it used to be in the summers we were outside a ton.
Well, and my birthday's in the summer, so that's when I got my license.
Tan.
Yeah, if I put in really any amount of time outside regularly, I get pretty tan. I start getting guessed as a different ethnicity.
Well, that's,
and I'm very white.
And I think that's the thing that's kind of funny for me, because I had told somebody that recently that people rarely think you're white, and they were like, "What?" And it made me
but not recently. No.
But back high school all the way through college, even when we got engaged.
I think our early videos I was tan. Because that was like summer 19.
Yeah. But just a lot of people in our personal lives were always like, "Oh, where's he what's his background? Where's he from?" I'm like, you know.
That's not a good way to ask people about their ethnicity.
No, not at all, but people have asked
me
that.
Where are you from?
Yeah.
And like most of the time it's the United
North
States.
Dakota.
Yeah.
And then people are like, "Oh, so you're Native American."
You're like, "Actually, no, not at all."
No.
But that makes more sense given my complexion. Yeah. Especially in the summer.
Yeah, we were surprised when we got your 23andMe back. And
I'm way more European than you are.
Yeah.
I've got about 10% Eastern European that has a little bit of.
I thought you were going to have like some Spain or something.
Yeah, or at least, yeah, like Northern African or something.
Yeah.
But no.
Matt's half adopted, not actually. Yes. That's always how I phrase it.
That's my favorite phrase, is that I'm half adopted. Well, my dad was adopted.
My niece and nephew are also half adopted. Mm-hmm. And it's because like my brother-in-law was adopted and Matt's dad was adopted. So kids of people who were adopted are low-key in my world genetically.
Yeah.
That's how I describe your genetics.
As though you're genetically adopted.
Well, I just mean in...
No, but a lot of times it means that you have less of a clear picture of your genetic background.
Yeah, like there's no genetic history. That's why I say it that way.
Yeah.
And so that's why your 23andMe was so interesting because we just didn't...
Yeah.
We had your mom's down pretty... But your mom's family is so...
There is very little question of what ethnicity they are. It's like what... flavor of Western European are you?
Yeah.
Northern European,
yeah,
really.
I was about to say.
Not Western. Yeah.
So, anyway, interesting, fascinating. I've never done it. I'd like to do it. I think I'm like 90% German.
Yeah. No, but you've got, you actually have Native American background.
Mm-hmm. I do, like not, I get scared to say that out loud.
Not as though to say you're like a card-carrying member of a tribe or something like that. Nor are you pretending to be.
The last person that was card-carrying in our family, I believe, was my great dad. You're going to have to text me and tell me the answer to this. It was a great grandparent, I think.
That makes sense.
But Shelby, my sister, has done all of the all the genealogy and has like which tribes and all of that, and has sent us that information. And she actually has like integrated some of the like native practices and stuff into their day to day, and also into their wedding.
You're like half back to the Mayflower, half.
It's
early Native American.
It's honestly, it's really gross. Like it's really gross. That's the thing. Is it's.
It's questionable.
It can't be a loving creation. I can tell you that. Yeah. It's dark, I'm sure. You get into reading.
You're
all
the product of
that.
Of an early American war crime?
I mean, probably a lot of us are.
Yeah.
You get back there far enough.
How many people are related to Genghis Khan?
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not in a positive way at all.
But it's not like I have like a huge percentage Native American. We just know the exact root of like who and which tribe and things like that.
Fair.
I am mostly German, but that's family being from like my family's. That's why it's surprising you being from North Dakota. I have family from Nebraska, and like farm in Nebraska.
A lot of European immigrants were farmers in the. Yeah. Northern and middle of the United States. That's why there's a lot of like German culture, a lot of Scandinavian culture.
I want to learn a lot more. Genealogy really fascinates me. I love reading stories about like my relatives and learning all about their stories and things like that. So that's something maybe that'll be my retirement hobby. I had a piano teacher growing up who did genealogy like as her hobby.
Yeah.
And she had whole rooms dedicated to just genealogy stuff. Her house was crazy. She had a 30, again, mom correct me, maybe it was 20 feet sounds more right, a 20-foot Christmas tree.
That's a
It was massive
Christmas
and
tree.
It stayed up year round and she decorated, she didn't, somebody came in and decorated each month for a different like theme. Like in September it was back to school.
Okay. What about like April?
And next to the Christmas tree were her two side-by-side grand pianos that you took lessons
dueling on. Grand pianos.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then there was like a big circle room. It was like an all glass wall.
So this was a quaint home.
No. Her husband, I think he was, I don't know what her husband did.
Sold 20-foot Christmas
trees.
You,
she did music and piano lessons for the love of it, though. I can
love
tell
the game.
You that.
Love
she,
the
no,
game.
She really was. She was so passionate about it.
I'm sure.
And yeah, what a time.
What a time.
Yeah, competitive piano.
I played piano for like a year and a half.
I played for a My parents are going to have to, we're going to have a Greg and Catherine fact check after these, because my childhood's so fuzzy. Sometimes I say things.
That'd be a second podcast we put out, and it's just 15 minutes, and it's like, here's all the things we said wrong.
Yeah, but I think I played piano for like 11 years.
Oh, wow.
10 years? 11 years? A while.
I guess you were playing still. Were you playing when I?
No.
No?
Definitely not.
Okay.
Yeah. I could still play, and I still played casually. I mean, I can still play now, but not like I could.
When did you stop competing?
Middle school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was young. Because I started doing swimming and all of that. And I was doing, the rule in my family was we had to play an instrument and we had to do some kind of like move your body activity. It didn't have to be a sport.
Rock your body.
But the rule was also the limit. You also couldn't do more than one activity, and you couldn't do less than one or more than one.
Yeah.
Like that was just the requirement. And so I guess they probably would have let me play more instruments at the same time if I had, well, not like for private lessons. Like because I played.
Sure. They wouldn't have taken instruments away from you though, if you were learning them by yourself, is what you were saying.
Correct.
Got it. That's nice.
And I played at school. That's what I mean is I.
Oh, okay. Sure.
In
you could have been in band.
Late elementary school. I was in band.
You were in band?
What?
When?
For my freshman and sophomore year of high
school. I didn't know you then. What were you playing?
The bass clarinet.
I was about to say, were you a clarinet player and I forgot?
Yeah.
I mean, bass clarinet's different. There's only a couple of them.
Well, I played clarinet first and then they were like, you're big. And
you're big.
They gave me the bass clarinet, which was great.
You seem like a woman who can handle a bass clarinet.
You just like blew my mind asking, were you in band?
Forgot.
What?
It was before my time.
No, but that's something that we connected over when we met.
Man, yeah.
Because you used to play all kinds of instruments.
Yeah, I've played a lot of instruments pretty mediocrely.
But at the time, you had the confidence to pretend like you could.
Yeah, at the time, I was pretending that I was at least decent.
You were good to me because I didn't know any different.
Now, a trombone is an instrument that is extremely difficult to sound good solo. Like an excellent trombone player on their own is still sometimes like, okay, all right. You're like, okay, cool. Good instrument.
It takes someone excellent to be interested in listening to it solo.
Yeah. And even then, you're like, this could use some other instruments with it. This could really be brought up by a trumpet or, you know, something, saxophone, piano. Let's get some variety in there.
I cannot believe you just asked if I was in band.
Yeah.
I
was the third worst guitar player out of three guitar players, so I was our bass guitar player. So I learned the bass guitar a little bit.
I played the violin for a year, I think at the end of elementary school. But I think that we rented violins like from the school. I'm trying to remember because I don't think I owned a violin. That seems like an investment.
My brother plays violin.
Well, do you think he still plays?
He's picked it up a time or two.
He plays well.
I remember
that. Yeah.
Oh.
Bren plays the violin.
Okay.
I don't know. Again, these are things that I'm like, I wonder if these people have looked at these instruments in 15 years.
I think my brother picked it up like in COVID again.
I always thought cello was really cool.
Yeah.
But
speaking of affordable instruments, cellos.
Exactly.
Cellos, very reasonably priced.
Exactly. Ugh. Well, anyway, back to our week. We're really just...
We're all over.
Yeah, we are.
All over.
I was going to say the lake collection.
I was going to say your lunch in the lake
week.
Collection. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. We're both wearing it today. Matt's wearing one of the new designs, and
this hat's not related. This is an ironic health and wellness hat that I'm wearing. My health and wellness is at a 3 out of 10. Mental health, I think, is really at a very solid 5 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Halfway there.
Physical wellness isn't a 2 to 3 out of 10, I feel.
Okay, I feel like it is not that. You are really, that's
4
really
out of 10.
Tanking
fine.
Some numbers.
Fine, 4 out of 10.
I feel like I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing a lot better.
My physical health is not where I want it to be, but in terms of steps I'm taking for my physical health, I'm going to give it like
you're putting a lot of work in.
An 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I've been drinking my water.
Big steps.
I've been lifting weights regularly.
Yep.
I've been moving around. I could improve. Anyway,
Okay,
going back, lake collection.
Lake collection.
That's really been my week because I've been getting everything ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
I did photo shoot last Thursday, and I had planned to do the photo shoot in Northwest Arkansas at Beaver Lake because we no longer have really family or close friends that are on Table Rock like we once did. And then my connection that was at Beaver was traveling this week. And I know that if I would have asked her, she would have absolutely made it work. But I didn't, because I didn't want to put more stress on her. And so on Wednesday of last week, I'm panicking because I knew I needed to shoot the pictures. Yeah. And I called JC, who is my best friend. I said, hi. She lives right near Lake of the Ozarks. And I said, hello, do you have any connects? Do you have any inns that if I drove to you tomorrow and made a day trip that you could shoot the lake collection for me?
Which is, what, 3 hours?
Yeah.
3.5 hours?
Yeah. And she did. She made it happen. So I drove it's 3 hours, almost on the dot. And I drove to her, and she shot everything for me. And I had a very, very late night back.
You did. You got back, what, midnight?
Yeah. And I spent all of Friday editing imagery, getting things ready. And I really, it's the first year, so we've done, this will be our fourth season of the lake launch. And to give some background with it, I grew up being a lake kid. The first time I was ever out on the lake, I was 6 weeks old. My parents are just huge lake people, have been.
Aficionados.
Yeah, my whole life. My parents, like the morning of their wedding, instead of like getting ready, they were out on the boat on Table Rock Lake. They got married on Table Rock Lake, which is in Branson, Missouri area. And so like Matt and I got married near there, and like we went out on Table Rock on our wedding day. And anyway, like I grew up going to Okoboji in Iowa. Like our dogs are named after a lake. Just huge lake people. And
I forget how many lake tie-ins we have.
We have a lot.
Yeah.
I have a lot.
We grew up going to the same lake.
Yeah. We both grew up going to Okoboji in Iowa, which we didn't know. We met in Missouri, obviously. Mm-hmm. And my family's from Iowa and Nebraska. Matt's family's from southern Minnesota and North Dakota. And we all grew up vacationing at the same spot, which is very bizarre because it's not that big of a place.
Well, Minnesota is the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yeah.
And we were both going to the same one in Iowa.
Yeah. Weird.
So.
But anyway, one of my acquaintances at Riff Raff knew that I loved the lake like that, and they put out a collection every year. So 4 years ago, they asked if I wanted to start partnering. They had me come to the table like with some imagery and inspiration and quotes and things that made me think of the lake. And we got to work on designs 4 years ago. And then this is the fourth year that it will be coming out. And every single year I have had something. Like this is the first year I've been able to focus on the launch happening.
Yeah.
Because the first year I was 7 months pregnant with G, and my mom was in the hospital. Like the week of the launch, we even talked about that first initial launch pushing back because, and we ended up not.
No.
But I was like trying to share about it from Missouri because I was going back and forth, and it was.
Yeah, you were in the hospital.
Yeah.
I filmed a video.
I wasn't in the hospital. Like showing, I was at the hospital.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. You filmed a video showing the collection because
I showed it all because you weren't home to film it and post it.
And so that. And it did great, but it just it was disappointing that I didn't get to like really focus on it. And then the next year, I don't remember what happened year two. Something happened year two. I don't know if it was
health issue again or
that's what I want to say. I want to say year two, there was also something health wise going on, but I don't. That one's fuzzy for me. I really remember the first one. I really remember.
Yeah, that one stuck out.
But the third year, I remember what it is. The third year, I had R, and I was only 5 weeks or six. I think I was 5 weeks postpartum when I shot the collection, and like 6 or 7 weeks postpartum when it launched.
Yeah,
which was great. I was so happy to do it again. It's at the same time every year. Anyway, long story short, have never gotten to focus on it the way I have leading up to this. And it's been a lot of fun, but I also have realized that I really don't have a lot of strategy around it.
Yeah.
So to everybody who has commented,
it's been chaos every year.
Yeah. Everybody who has commented, liked, shared, and really supported me through that, I really appreciate it. And I love that you guys love it as much as we do. And I appreciate each and every one of you so, so much. Anyway, yeah. I just wanted to get on my little
soapbox
about that.
Nice.
I'm excited about this. It's my
this one I think is a great.
It's my favorite collection yet. The only thing I regret is that I didn't notice we didn't do a hat this year. I wish we would have done a hat. And that's my fault. I just didn't bring it to
maybe in this exact colorway.
I know.
To match the sweatshirt.
So cute. I know. Nah, next time. Anyway, yeah. Do you have a word of the week or do you want to jump into some things?
I'm familiar with the word inexorable.
Inexorable.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what that means.
It's,
I was going to try and take a guess and be funny, and then I realized I had nothing.
it's something that's it's impossible to stop or prevent or not possible to be persuaded.
Inexorable.
Yeah.
Can I say
something
that?
Something is like inexorably complicated. You know, it's impossible to... Make sometimes, not complicated.
Every time I think I have a really good grasp and then Matt uses it in a sentence and I don't have it.
You could say you're inexorable. I did look it up. It also means exorable is a word, which I've never seen before, which means able to be persuaded or moved.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. I am very exorable.
I am very exorable.
Yeah.
I am.
And exorate. Exorate is also a word.
I actually...
Which sounds wild.
My friend, speaking on that, my friend Claire, who if you don't follow Claire Necessities on TikTok, she's fantastic. Also on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But she posted a video yesterday about being
exorable.
And it was... she did not use that word. She should have. But it was really interesting because she spoke to a lot of things that I think I struggle with. And it was so... wild to hear her because I view her very much as somebody like that is goals for me that she does not struggle with that. So that was interesting. Anyway,
she's easily X-rated.
Yeah. We've lost me entirely. I guess we should hit some Greg's reads of the week.
Yeah. Greg's your dad. He reads news. He sends us articles and we read the titles and rate them 1 to 5, how much anxiety they give us.
Okay. Article number one, don't say yes when caller asks, can you hear me now?
Is this a phishing thing?
Probably.
I don't know. 3 out of 5.
Tell me more.
Mainly because it's scary stuff. But I guess the title, I don't know. 2 out of 5? The title, I know what it's about, and that's scarier than the title.
I feel like I unfortunately think that I am pretty impenetrable. By wrong word.
No, that's great. I mean, I think you mean impenetrable, but
is that wrong?
No, I mean like feeling overconfident in terms of security, I know that's, is a terrible idea.
I know that's what I was getting at.
Yeah,
I really struggle with that. Like I just don't.
She's bulletproof, baby.
Well, it's like the people who want to get a hold of me can barely get a hold of me. You know what I mean?
Fair.
So like it's hard to fall for a scam when you're not even taking the time to do the things you need to do, let alone the things people are trying to scam you into doing.
Fair.
So I don't mean that I couldn't fall for it.
Got it.
I more mean
got it. I don't have the capacity to be scammed right now.
Exactly.
Chalk that up as a quote.
Okay, article number two. The one scientific reason you should spend time with your grandchildren.
I mean, 0 out of 5 anxiety for me. Why is there's only one reason?
I know that's what kind of made me laugh. It didn't give me
the
anxiety.
The title makes me laugh because it's like, this is why you should. Everyone tells you not to hang out with your grandchildren. It's bad for you. And I was like, I don't think that's true at all.
I know. It made me giggle. No, it was a good article, but it made me laugh because I'm like, you need a scientific reason? Like, you know,
I didn't want to, but then science told me it was good for me.
And then science told me it was necessary.
Yeah.
No, of course, that's not the vibe.
This is how it benefits me.
I think that might be our only articles this week.
No way. Come on.
I know. Dad. I really feel like my dad has backed off on sending us articles since we started Greg's Reads of the Week. And I just think that that is crazy.
Ooh. Experts explain what it means when you see a cardinal.
Ooh, wait. Is there a group text I'm not in?
No, you're in there.
Oh, okay.
It just wasn't previewed.
No, it didn't pop up on mine.
You had to click you know, click to preview.
That gives me no anxiety. I love the animal articles. I love the gardening articles. Honestly, I love them all because I think of receiving an article as a little hug virtually from my dad. He's
a
like,
little
hey,
poke to say,
thinking
hey.
Of you. When I read this, I thought of you, and I think that's very
stay
sweet.
Diligent.
Stay diligent. I'm going to get that tattooed on me. Okay.
You got some voicemails?
We have one voice message.
One.
Okay, and funny thing, so our voicemail inbox cuts off at 90 seconds. Like, you have to record in 90 seconds.
Keep it tight, people.
And, no, it makes me nervous every time I see one's a minute 30. Like, this one's a minute 29. And so I'm like, did they pull it off or did they get cut off? We never know. Okay.
Hi, guys. So I have a question. It's probably more of a joke question. So me and my boyfriend have been together for coming up on 3 years. I'm in graduate school, and we agreed that by the time that I graduate next May, we will be engaged or we will part ways. And I know that you and Matt at one point in time like had talked about and like kind of drew a line in the sand for you guys. And as you know, I've got a whole year left on that deadline. But as it gets closer, you know, I definitely do get more nervous about it. I definitely feel like it's the right choice and I'm wanting to stick to my guns on it because by that time we'll have been together 4 years. And I currently live in California for his job and his profession, and for me graduating from grad school, like, this is not a very conducive place for me to start my career if I'm gonna, you know, be on my own potentially, and you know, a lot of our finances are like really dependent on his income right now, so it just wouldn't be like, I couldn't live here alone if I had to like part off and be on my own. And so, you know, how did you deal with, like, the feelings of the nervousness and anxiety of, like, whether Matt was going to kind of pull the trigger or not as that deadline kind of approached?
Ooh. I don't
know
feel
what?
Like that was a very joking question.
No, that well, no, I think she said Joe.
Oh, I heard joke question and I got excited. I was like, somebody's going to ask us a silly, dumb question.
And then
and
Matt,
I was like, whoa.
Matt was like, this
no.
is very serious.
Your experience is very valid. I'm not trying to invalidate you. I just got caught off guard halfway through the voicemail. I was like, this is not getting...
Question,
yes,
not
that
a joking
makes
question.
A lot more sense.
I was so confused when you were like, that didn't seem like a joke at all.
idiot.
Okay, you're not an idiot. I have a probably not welcomed answer.
Mm.
I didn't rely on you in any way.
No, yeah, the roles were definitely flipped.
So,
I mean, not
well,
flipped.
No,
we were both independent. Like, yes.
We were both
and
very,
we lived in different places.
Like, we were not... Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
We lived in different places. We had our own homes. We were not reliant on one another. So we didn't necessarily have those factors. And also, when it came down to it, and we... Like, we didn't have, like, a... There wasn't, like, a hard...
Yeah, it wasn't, like, April 1st...
Do it by this
Dunzo.
Time or you're getting like dumped. It wasn't necessarily that way for us. Not that I think that that's wrong per
I
se.
I think that was kind of the, I mean, it was basically like, if it doesn't happen by this season, like, what are we doing?
Right.
Much
Definitely.
More in that vein, which I think is totally reasonable, especially in
and
our
I
circumstances.
And I just communicated that out loud, but I didn't bring it. Like
it wasn't regularly brought up.
Yes, I wasn't like, remember that's coming up or remember that's coming up, because for me that was something for you to figure out on your own time. I just let you know, hey, just so you know, like, this is where I am with it.
Yeah,
so
you and
you
did express you were like, hey,
guard.
I'm serious about this.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna bring it up all the time. And
well, because it would be really uncomfortable. Like, it's, you know, it's like how I hate reading books with miscommunication tropes. Like, I would hate for it to hit a certain time and me be like, okay, I'm out. And you, you know, like, wait, I'm confused.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I struggle with that because there wasn't a time that I felt anxious or uncomfortable about it. To me, it just kind of was letting you know my expectations. And you were, it only took expressing it once to make sure we were on the same page.
Yeah,
and
you just made sure that you're like, hey, this is not a negotiable. This is not, Like, it's not a discussion. This is how it's going to go.
Well, we discussed that we wanted to get married and stuff. It's not like I came to the table point blank. I don't know. I worry about how it's expressed because, like, we know our relationship so well.
Yeah.
It's not like I came to you and was like, hey, you have to propose by this time or I'm out. Like, it wasn't like that. We had talked about, we knew we wanted to get engaged. We knew we wanted to get married. We had talked about all of those things. And that was the long-term plan for us.
Yeah, that was basically a condition of us getting back together.
Right.
I guess. It was just like, hey, it needs to happen on this kind of timeline, partially because you had a really booked schedule because you were booking 18 months to 2 years in advance.
Yeah. With weddings. My career was really, really different at that point as well. I don't know. There were a lot of extenuating circumstances.
Sure.
But I also, did she say at the beginning that they're in school?
She's in grad school.
Yeah.
I don't know if I didn't catch if he was, but it sounds like
it sounds working. Like he's working.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to note is a ring doesn't provide you security. Like if you don't feel secure in your relationship without a ring, having a ring shouldn't be the thing that brings you security. Like your trust and your like confidence in your relationship should. Like the reason that I kind of laid down with you what I was thinking is because I knew that you were not going to be taking into consideration my wedding schedule. Like that was for
time.
Your
time. Time is a very
ADHD
large
brain
issue for me.
Like that just wasn't going to happen. You were like, well, then we get engaged and we can get married in a month. Like if she wants, you know.
A day turns into a week, turns into 6 months pretty quickly for me.
Yeah. And so that was a big part of things too.
Yeah. Yeah. With this situation, especially, it's probably just really important to communicate a lot of your career stuff.
Yeah.
And maybe you have. We're going to just assume, I don't know, random things and hope that we're somewhere in the neighborhood of accurate. But I think a few months, a little bit ahead of graduating or whatever your timeline is, you're like, hey, I need to start looking for careers if we're not going to be in the same place. And some of those.
My thing is, I just, like, I don't think you should ever have to give someone an ultimatum or a, like, that kind of thing in order to, like, push proposal. And that's why
But to me, it's less of an ultimatum and understanding, like, hey, we need to have an understanding of trajectory.
Right.
And I do think it's good to not have, like, a hard...
Well, especially if you're relying on each other.
Yeah, but if you're relying on them and you need to know where your future is going because the place you're in geographically is not conducive to your career, that's definitely something you have to have hashed out.
Well, and I think this is one of those things that I would say communicate about because I would be saying, hey, I'm having a lot of anxiety. Like, you know, even though I know we've talked about this, I know that from what I understand, we're both on the same page that we want to get engaged, we want to get married, but I feel like I'm relying on you. You know, monetarily, and I'm feeling a lot of anxiety, whether earned or not.
And to change that, like it would either require doing long distance, which you know you probably don't want to do, or having some sense of stability. And so, yeah, I guess if you're graduating soon, it's probably getting close to time for a discussion. Even if that sucks.
Although the thing I was going to bring up though about graduation, and I don't know that this connects necessarily to her question, but just if we have anybody listening that is at the end of their college career and is thinking of getting engaged, I actually just told one of the girls that nannies for us has been with her boyfriend for a long time, and he is the guy for her. Like they are very like in it, and. I have no idea where she is with it, but I imagined where I would have been with it if I was that in it as a senior in college. And I told her, I said, don't get engaged. She said, what do you mean? And I said, don't rush it. Like, enjoy your graduation, go out, get a job. Like you have your, now granted, this doesn't fit for everybody. Like you may listen to this and be like, Joe, that's not what I want to do. Great. If you know what you want to do, that's fantastic. Like go do what you want to do. But I think that we get in such a rush of thing after thing after thing. And then you kind of settle in or in this very different season and you realize like you could have stretched some of that out, like graduating from graduate school, really enjoying your first job. But I realize that this advice doesn't necessarily apply to the caller because you're in a very different scenario of if you can't start your career trajectory the same, you kind of need to know.
Yeah. It forces you to be a dependent.
Yeah. So, you know, that's tough decision wise. I feel like we were in a different situation, so it's hard for me to speak on that. I'll be totally frank that I am too insecure to ever put myself in a situation as a dependent.
Yeah, you...
I can't do it.
You're pretty anti-being, which I don't think... It doesn't sound like this person is really loving the experience of being dependent.
No, and I'm criticism judgment to anybody that can do that, because I think that that is like the ultimate... Mm-hmm. I can't think of the word I'm trying to say, but like, it's such an act of trust in the person that you love, knowing that they're going to like Matt leaving his job to do this with me, from my perspective, was such a leap of faith and showed just the utmost trust in me that I was going to be able to care for our family.
Yeah.
Monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that. And I realized that that is such a vulnerable thing for him to do.
Yeah. And, 'cause that's definitely not in my wheelhouse. I've always,
worked.
Different. It's different with a family, especially, but, at the very least, I've always wanted to be able to pull my own weight.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the issues I deal with now are centered around that.
It's hard.
Yeah. Because I've always,
like, and maybe
I've
it's always a Matt had, question. Yeah,
you've had very flexible jobs. We're going way off like normal rails, but you've always had, this ability to be like, well, I can make more, I can grow, I can be more. I've always had very, static jobs in terms of income. And so it's like, this is your salary. I was never in a position where we had significant bonuses or anything like that. So it was like, this is what you make a month. So your lifestyle fits into this check. You know, you can save this much, you can spend this much. This much goes to staying alive. So the way I was able to regulate, you know, waves in life, I guess, you know, different expenses or whatever, was by making myself smaller. And so, my instinct, especially now that like I don't bring in a direct income regularly, is to make myself extra, extra small. And I've run out of making myself smaller. And sometimes you need to be more, especially when you're doing stuff online.
It's been really interesting navigating that.
Yeah. Yeah. So my instincts aren't serving me well in this season of like, be more, produce more. It's like, oh, well, make yourself smaller, reduce your impact. And it's like, well, once you've taken that to the extreme, it's like, well, now you're not very helpful to anybody because you're just a, you're like being a shell of a human being. Yeah. So,
and I'd like it known.
Nothing to do with anything.
No, but I love unhinged. The feelings.
Yeah, that was a lot of feelings.
Well, that's why, I just as I was thinking about her question, I thought that this honestly might be more of a question for you in terms of...
You came to me for the feelers and her for the advice.
No, I just mean with the being more dependent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It's definitely a position that...
It's uncomfortable.
I don't think comes natural to most people.
Well, and I don't know. It's uncomfortable. Like, the thing for me is with you being the one to propose, it's not like I was really reliant on you in mm-mm. any way, shape, or form, other than, like, obviously, emotionally, I was in love with you. I wanted you to be in my life. Like, yes, yeah. Then that's huge. But to have both of those things, like, that weighs heavy. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I think
that's where a lot of the insecurity from many people it comes from.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're building a life together, but it's very dependent on together.
Right.
And so I need to understand that. So
it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's been interesting watching you navigate all of it, for sure.
Interesting's a word.
I don't know.
It's been good and bad.
Yeah.
Some bad.
I'd say there are pros and cons. I wouldn't say good and bad. I don't feel like anything's been bad.
Yeah. I mean, a big part of the goal of me doing this was kind of self-exploration of like, okay, we have the capacity that you can figure out what you want to do. And I haven't done a great job of that, but also that while I do that, I can be around my kids and my kids can see their dad every day, all the time, which is, it's a big benefit for kids to see their parents.
Well, and I was going to note, like, my parents from the time I was really young, like I started working young, but my parents always really encouraged me to work for myself if I wanted to. So I did a lot of photographing seniors and mm-hmm. I did a lot of like crafts that I sold and things like that rather than getting a traditional job. Whereas you from the time we were young had a very traditional job all through college. Like yeah. you worked your way through college. You had a scholarship in college. You came out of school. You went a regular career path. The summers through college, you worked construction.
Yep.
Like you have always worked. There hasn't been a lot of exploration for you of what do I enjoy doing? What am I passionate about? And not that your job has yeah. to be those things. That's not what I'm saying per se.
No.
But I think you've been so busy in your adult life, kind of bringing bread to the table that you, and you didn't get to explore within that. You just didn't get a lot of time to explore. So when you left, that was a real goal.
Yeah. The ADHD thing really cropped up because it turns out I was seeking stability through jobs of like, hey, I have a boss that tells me these are my deliverables I need. This is my role. This is exactly what my responsibilities are. These things are not my responsibilities. These things are all of that. It's a nice framework for people that don't necessarily do that well for themselves.
Well, and also having a discipline system.
Oh, yeah.
Because... Mm-hmm. Having like a boss that you're going to get a bad job review and that it could impact your stability.
When having a timeline, like you yeah. have the timeline of a business to support you. It is not all up to you when things get done. It's like, hey, we have a project that depends, you know, dozens of people are interwoven into. So you have a lot of accountability built in. And self-accountability is something that I did not have a lot of.
Gotten a lot better.
Yeah, it's gotten better, but it's still getting there.
So. It's been interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's been a learning experience. We'll come through it. Changed people for sure.
What I will say is I'm surprised at how much I have loved spending. Maybe this doesn't sound how I wanted it to.
All day, every day with me?
Yeah.
It's gone better than I guess I would have forecasted had I been able to like see, oh, well, you're going to spend...
all of your time. Well, isn't that so concerning?
Yeah. You spend like 8 hours a week tops away from your wife.
It's more than that.
Is it?
Yeah. Because
when? When you leave.
Yeah.
Got it. That makes sense. I was like, I don't leave the house 8 hours a week. There's no way.
I would like to clarify.
I'm not trapped here, guys.
I would like to clarify in literally everything you've
Let's
talked about.
Let's clip this and then see the internet be like, he's trapped in his home. He's a captive.
She's evil. Well, that's what I was about to say. I feel like through this whole conversation, it has made it sound like you are just in this cage.
No, the cage is me.
Yeah.
The depression was inside you the whole time. We say that phrase a lot. The anxiety was inside you the whole time.
We talk about that a lot because everybody, you know.
There's a real proclivity for people to try to change.
Us too.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We've done it. Where it's
once
like,
we get here, then.
Yeah. If we change our location, if we change this circumstance, then I'll be different. It's like, oh no, it was inside you. Yeah. You were anxious and turns out you did the thing you wanted to do and you're still anxious.
Yeah. Like,
you have a new anxiety, but yeah.
Navigating that's been interesting. But anyway, I just want to clarify, Matt's not trapped.
No.
Matt can go
and
do
it. I'm in a very safe environment.
Yeah, he may go and do as he pleases.
Again, we record this and put it on the internet. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm really self-conscious about that. I know. Because
well, it's tough because people really aren't nice to women in your role.
No.
And people don't like women who are the breadwinners.
No. Isn't that interesting? It makes sense.
People don't like women.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
We can cut it off there.
I hate that.
It's brutal.
It's so silly. Like,
yeah.
Let's just all be nice to each other. Okay.
Yeah. At least half the population.
let's leave the podcast on that note.
Yeah. All right, guys. Be nice to women. Subscribe. Do all the things that you do to podcasts. Go to YouTube. Watch us stumble through this thing.
I thought today was pretty fun.
Yeah, it actually flowed pretty good, but yeah. It was unhinged.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely all over the place.
A raw episode today.
We got a lot of Matt lore.
You did.
He's the best. I really am obsessed with you.
You are. You really are.
I just think you're the coolest.
Thanks. Thanks. It's uncomfortable for me to hear that.
I'm sorry. Love you guys.
Talk soon. We'll do some emails and stuff. And more next week.
Bye.